Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Nice to have you here. Did you know that you are special, that you are the handiwork of God? That's what Paul tells us in our lesson today. You are the handiwork of God, that God made you and made you special. And there's never been anybody like you. And that you got gifts and talents that no one else has. I mean, no one catches fish like Gino in the back there. Yeah? Ain't that right? Oh, no one catches fish like Irene in the front. You proteges, you got it covered, everything in between those fishers. But each one of us is special, and that's the message today. You have been given gifts and talents, and God has created you. So let's celebrate that specialness. We'll hear more about that during the service. A couple of announcements. Our midweek Lenten services are 6:30 on Wednesday. 5:30, come on over for potluck. If you would like to sign up for Easter lilies, they're available. Easter this year is April 8th. And then we've got the confirmation on the 22nd. Have you been studying, my dear? Don't lie to the pastor. Anyway, in the back of our property, we've got a nature trail. And usually, every year I've been here, which is 12 seasons, it's been swamp. This year it's dry. And there's a bunch of tree falls, and there's trees that are hanging bent over through big winds and stuff. If you are interested in helping have a day or two to do some tree cutting, we could clean that up. In fact, we need to clean that up before the mosquitoes come. Although someone said they were out Friday night already. Well, I'll pass the mosquito dope out if we do it early. Anyway, if you'd like to help out, please sign up, okay? We could use that help. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for creating us who we are. Help us to embrace who we are today, for we know that we were created by you. We pray for your Spirit to be with us. We pray that it might be stirred in our hearts, that we might seek to live our lives for you. So as we gather around your holy table, we pray you might come to us and us to you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a note, Lee Krieger and her husband Bob, Lee's been in charge and working on our music program for 30 years. They're moving, leaving. They don't want any party. I mean, without Lee, she's the one who ran the worship and music committee and organized the organists and the special music and started the bells and filled in when Darwin wasn't available and has done everything. And Bob ran the sound system and got record all the services and so forth. They don't want any party. It's tough enough for them to leave already. The worst part of my job is to say goodbye to good friends like that. But next week, we made a special cake for them, and we thought if everyone could make a card, if you could put a card together and write your thanks and let them know you're thinking of them and throw up a prayer for them once in a while and wish them the best, because this is causing a lot of tension in their lives. Anyway, if we can do that for them, next week we're going to celebrate that, okay? So if you're here, and even if you're not, please bring a card in. Will the congregation please rise? Let's join in our opening hymn, and we'll dismiss our choir.
The cross of Christ, glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. Of the light of sacred story, gathers now his tents apart. When the woes of life forsake me,
Please turn to your bulletin to the order of confession and forgiveness. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved our neighbor in our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. For the sake of Jesus and Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join together in the prayer of the day. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. I'm going to invite the choir to lead us in our worship.
Smaller than this. He was from a big city, and church I left after I left, there's no choir. And a lot bigger church than this, and they no longer have a church choir. And it's just so sad. So I hope this church continues to have a church choir. And I think it will. I think it will. So keep coming and keep singing, okay? It's important. How beautiful.
Anybody out there who caught your attention? Yeah. We'll talk to you after.
Today's lesson is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. While we were dead in our sinfulness, God acted to make us alive as a gift of grace in Christ Jesus. We are saved not by what we do, but by grace through faith. Thus, our good works are really a reflection of God's grace at work in our lives. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We will read Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3 and 17 through 22. Please follow reading in the bold print, and when you see that bold R, follow with the refrain, "You deliver your people from their distress." Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that God redeemed them from the hands of the foe, gathering them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some were fools and took rebellious paths. Through their sins they were afflicted. They loathed all manner of food and drew near to death's door. Then in their trouble they cried to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress. You deliver your people from their distress. You sent forth your word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. Thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wonderful work for all people. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of your deeds with shouts of joy. You deliver your people from their distress. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this fourth Sunday of Lent is found in the third chapter of St. John. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, 759. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was reading an article in an American history magazine. It came from a book, Before You Call, I Will Answer, by David Redding. In there, the story told a story from the Civil War, the Battle of Fredericksburg. The Confederate soldiers had taken the top of the hill and the Union soldiers were storming it from the bottom. And they were being picked off left and right, and the Confederate soldiers seemed to be able to win at will. There was a fellow that they talked about named Sergeant Richard Kirkland, and he saw these people being picked off and left for dead on this hot summer morning, summer mornings as they fought. Finally, he couldn't stand it any longer. He asked his senior officer if he could take buckets of water and go down and relieve some of the people dying on the field, just to give them a drink of water. And the senior officer said, "Well, you're risking your life, and I would never do it myself, but if you feel like you've got to do that, please go ahead." So he got these buckets of water, found a source of water, and he would move back and forth, giving cups of water to all these dying soldiers. The amazing thing is, soldiers on both sides, when he moved through there, they stopped and watched. And they let him, then he'd run off the field of action, the bullets would start flying again, and then he'd go back, and wherever he went, they stopped firing and just watched him. Sergeant Kirkland earned a nickname that day, the Angel of Mary's Heights, because it was Mary's Heights, Fredericksburg. Later, he'd be killed in the war, but those who witnessed his death said that he still died a hero because he was always thinking of the men under his command more than he was about himself. So as I read that, I thought, you know, this guy knew what he was about. Do you understand that this was why Christ came into the world? It was to create a world of Sergeant Richard Kirklands. To create a world of people who know how to love. People who know how to put compassion before personal security. People who don't divide groups of people into friends and enemies, but who see all people everywhere as children of God. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Our first lesson that Mary read, Paul tells us, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So as I think about this lesson today, what occurred to me was, I started looking at myself. How do I feel about myself? And I thought that would be a good question for each one of the parishioners here to think about. How do you feel about yourself? Do you feel like you are the handiwork of God? Do you feel you have within yourself the ability to be like Sergeant Richard Kirkland? Do you feel like you could change the world? Or are you satisfied just to get by, just to hang on? Are you satisfied doing as little as you possibly can to justify your existence? What Paul reminds us of today, and what I think as well, is God created us for more than just getting by. St. Paul writes, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this isn't from yourself, it's a gift from God, not by works so that no one can boast. But we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That's what St. Paul's words say. And there's a couple of things that this verse reminds me of. First of all, these words say that we were created for greatness. Now, it's important for you to understand what I mean by greatness. Greatness in God's eyes is different from what the world means by greatness. Dr. Mark Roberts tells one of the most moving stories I've heard in a long time. He's a pastor of a Presbyterian church out on the West Coast, out of Los Angeles, 4,000 members, so it's a big church. He was about to go to bed one night. Phone rang. It was a parishioner, Mary, who was at the hospital. Her 7-year-old son had died. Now he didn't remember, he kind of remembered who Mary was. With 4,000 people, you know, it's hard to keep track of everyone. And he certainly didn't remember her ever bringing a son to church. But she said her son would die, she needs someone to pray with. Would you come to the hospital? So of course he went. When they went into the room, they found little Jimmy, 7 years old. But Jimmy was not a normal little boy. I mean, he was a deformed little fellow. He was twisted and turned. The wires and the tubes were still in him. And the pastor was shocked by looking at this baby boy. I mean, because he was much smaller and twisted and deformed. But not Mary. Mary went right up and loved that child. She took that child in her arms and caressed his cheeks and kissed the top of his head and told how much Jimmy had meant to her and how much she'd miss little Jimmy and how she'd spent time in that hospital with him. And as Robert stood there, he realized that Mary loved with a kind of love that was far beyond any love that he had given to anyone before. It was the undeserved, unabashed, unquenchable love of a mother for her child. Whereas he saw someone, you know, little Jimmy, as someone marred in appearance, almost beyond human recognition, Mary saw him as a beautiful human being. Jimmy hadn't earned her love with his handsomeness, hadn't earned her love with things that he had done. Jimmy had simply been loved freely and graciously all of Jimmy's life by Mary. Had she been able to do so, Mary said, I would give my life for him so that he could live. Mary loved her precious child with everything she had. That mother is the handiwork of God. That's what I mean by being called to greatness, you and I. Some of us are called to be world-class parents, world-class grandparents. Some of us are called to be world-class employees, world-class employers. Some of us are called to be world-class students. Hey, you listening? Hey, yeah. All of us are called to be world-class servants of God, wherever our place in life might be, whatever we're doing. We, you and I, are the handiwork of God. That's what Paul tells us today. That's the first thing. The second thing this means is that this greatness doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Listen again to Paul's words. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you understand what grace is? Pastor Anthony Evans tells an unusual story about a man who took his girlfriend to dinner. Special, special dinner, one of those high-class outfits. And he brought a big box, wrapped beautifully for her. They sat down at the dinner table, and she expected to open the box. He says, no. He set it on the edge of the table after dinner. But all through dinner, all through the fancy courses, she kept eyeing that and wanting to open it. And finally, after dinner, she said, can I open it now? He said, sure, you can open it. She opened the box and pulled out a pillow. A pillow. And she kind of looked at it and says, well, it's a nice pillow. She looked in the box to see if there's something else there, you know. A new iPad or something, a necklace, I don't know. But that's all it was a pillow. And she says, well, thank you, but he could tell she was disappointed by just getting this pillow. But then her boyfriend got up and took that pillow and put it on the floor. He knelt down on one knee and took her hand and said, would you be my wife? Would you be my wife? Immediately she forgot all about the pillow. The one who gave her the pillow now became a lot more important. The point of that story is the Lord of all the universe has come to us on bended knee, as it were, to let us know how much we are loved, how much we are treasured by God. That's grace. He humbled himself, says St. Paul. That's grace. However, he didn't come on bended knee so that we could spend our lives just getting by. He did it so that we could be fashioned as his handiwork in the world. He did it so that we could become world-class parents, world-class grandparents, world-class employees and employers, world-class students. That's why he came. World-class servants of God. That's why he came. I like to think we have some world-class members in our church. Right here in this room, people who give more, who care more, who help more, people who are a world-class committee member on some of the things, a world-class choir, world-class organist. Thank you, by the way. It's nice having you here.
Good to be here.
Yeah, good. World-class youth workers, world-class kids, world-class servants. Anytime you make some cookies that go to the nursing home or those vegetable soups that go to the folks who can't get out, world-class people, world-class servants of God. And choir, I mean, Darwin says, we've got a world-class choir, according to Irene, or at least that person who wrote from the cities. And so I invite you all to come and join the choir. Doesn't mean you have to sing at the Dakota Jazz Club or sing at the Met, but it does mean you'll participate, and it does mean that you're not a slacker if you give your very best in whatever ministry you're invited in. You, everyone here, is God's handiwork. We become God's handiwork when Christ lives within us and we engage in acts of service in his name. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves, it's the gift of God. And then not by works that you've done so you can boast. For we are God's handiwork. That's what Paul says. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Why are we here? To do good works. To be Jesus in the world, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Why have we been saved? To do good works. One last story. A recent book by Max Lucado. He tells a wonderful story about a ship that gets blown off course in some big winds down in the South China Sea. Quickly comes upon a group of uncharted islands. The ship's captains order the anchor to be lowered, and he and a bunch of his folks go on to the first island, and what he finds there is poverty and disease and people who are downcast and no hope and lost, so they hurry up and get back on the ship. They go to another island, find the same thing over and over again. Finally, they get to the biggest island in this chain, in this uncharted area, and what he finds there is a totally different world that he'd encounter on the other islands. This island had plush irrigation systems and strong, able-bodied people and kids that smiled and were full of good health and food in the marketplaces and clean streets and nice homes and places like that. And when he asks why this island is different, he says he's told that a Father Benjamin has educated the people of the island and everything from agriculture to health. The father also assisted the town in building schools and roads and irrigation systems. And seeing such a wonderful community in the midst of all these other islands led the captain to ask to see Father Benjamin in person. Show me where he lives, he says. So they, first of all, go downtown and they show him the buildings and the school and where they do the health care. And he's not there. So then they bring him over to the ponds where they're raising fish, and he's not there. And then they go up the mountain where there's coffee trees and fruit trees, and people are working, and he's not there. And finally he says, you know, when am I going to meet Father Benjamin? Could I meet Father Benjamin? Once again, there's no sign of Father Benjamin. Finally, the captain's told that Father Benjamin's died. Captain asked why they didn't tell him up front that the priest was dead. He says, you didn't ask about his death. You asked where he lived. And he lived in all of those projects. You want to know where Christ lives? He lives within each person who's willing to open himself or herself up to become the handiwork of God. He lives wherever a hospital has been built in Christ's name, or a food shelf has been built, or a homeless shelter. He works down there at Feed My Starving Children, and you guys have been a part of that. Thank you. Christ lives where anyone has given sacrificially to minister to any of the least of these, according to Jesus. Being the handiwork of God is not for the faint-hearted. It's not for those who are content to just get by in life. I can tell you that there's no joy in simply existing. There's no life there. But there is joy without end to those who desire to be world class in serving Jesus. Your Lord kneels on a pillow. He hangs on the cross. And he says to you and to me, you were created for good works, for making a difference in the world. Not that you might boast, but that others might glorify my Father who's in heaven. So that's who we are. That's who we are. We are blessed. That's what we are about when Christ lives within us. We're his handiwork. That's who we are. Something for us to be reminded of this Lenten season. Let's live like that. Amen. May God's peace and hope be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. The congregation, please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer, page 4. Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us in these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We cry to you for help, O God, praying for the church, the world, and all those who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. We pray for the whole church, for bishops, pastors, and lay leaders, for those preparing for baptism, their families and sponsors. Save us by your grace, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for wilderness lands, national parks and forests, for creatures that may frighten us, grizzly bears, wolves, and serpents. Teach us compassion for the whole earth, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for nations in conflict, for governments in transition, for children who have only known war. Put an end to our childish wrath and lead us to good works. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for refugees and displaced persons, for those without food or water, for all who are judged and condemned. Shine your light into our darkness. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this congregation, for ushers and communion assistants, for council members and acolytes, for visitors among us, those who cannot be here today, and those who are ill. We especially lift up before you Artie Kendall, Mel Hammond, Dean Newman, those others who we name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy, keep us in communion with all who have died, our loved ones and our enemies, the very young and the very old, centuries ago and today. Lord, in your mercy, now is the acceptable time to offer our prayers to you, God of grace and truth. Receive them in your mercy and grant us all that we need in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join in confessing our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. He descended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we gather as brothers and sisters at this holy table. We are ever mindful that it was on a day like this that Jesus ate his last meal. He took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body. It's given to you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for new beginnings, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome at the table of our Lord. We'll begin with this side, and then we'll follow with this side. The table is set. Come eat and drink. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts, through Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor. Our closing hymn is 338.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, my guilt to take my stand, the shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within a wilderness, a rest upon the wing. From the burning of the noontide heat and burdens of the day, upon the cross of Jesus, my eye at times can't see the very dying form of one that suffered here for me. And from my contrite heart with tears, who was